There's another layer that we go into in our research, which is what we call the three C's, which is culture, citizenship, and being a career catalyst.
This is the People Masterminds podcast with leading voices on people, culture, and organizational challenges in scale-ups.
Welcome to the People Masterminds podcast. Today, Dave Hazelhurst is our guest. Dave is best known as Google Dave and is CXO, Chief Experience Officer and partner at PH Creative. We talk about the importance, wins and pitfalls of an EVP and strong employer brand and the transition from storytelling to story building. We are Crystal and Evelise and we're excited to discuss this topic. We simply love building stories.
Yes, thanks for tuning in again. And if you're listening for the first time, a very special welcome to you. Subscribe to our podcast along with a few thousand others on your preferred platform to stay up to date with our latest episodes. This is episode number 50. Such a milestone.
Oh my! 50 episodes.
50, yes. And if you have any feedback for us or ideas about an interesting topic, send us a DM via LinkedIn or email at info@peoplemasterminds.com. Now let's move on to today's guest. Welcome, Dave.
Hello.
Great to have you here.
I feel honored to be here on the 50th episode. It's a pleasure. Thanks for the invite. It's just a shame I couldn't come and see it and give you like a real life hug.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Because you're calling in from Liverpool, right?
I know. A scouse hug all the way from Liverpool. But no, really, really is a pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
And looking forward to it.
Yeah. Thanks for joining.
Well, Evelise prepared an introduction about you.
Absolutely. Are you ready for it?
Oh, God.
We have some sources, you know. Okay, here we go. Dave is a recognized social media influencer, strategist, and co-author of the best-selling book, Getting Goosebumps. His delivery style can be summarized as feel first, think second. Dave has delivered keynotes and workshops at numerous senior-level conferences and seminars across Europe and the US. He is a huge Liverpool fan and often quotes Klopp. So he's probably feeling devastated at the moment because Klopp is leaving. He's also a big Formula One fan and a great lover of life, plus a real life wire to be around. Welcome, Dave.
Oh my God. Well, that, you know what? I need to get that. I know Klopp. It was going so well. You had to bring it off. But
I'm so sorry. Dave, I have a lot of questions about your introduction. Why are you called Google Dave? And what do you do as a chief experience officer?
Okay, so the Google Dave thing's not that exciting, but I'll tell you the story. So,
do you know everything?
Yeah, so no, definitely not. So basically, when we first started out, and there was like four or five of us, I used to build all the paid media campaigns and I used to do SEO. So, you know, getting people to the top of Google and all this. And it was for like local solicitors and trade people and all this kind of stuff. And one day there was a phone call into the office. Okay. So this is like, there's like six of us in this small office in Liverpool starting out. The phone goes and Brian, who's my business partner, but lives in sunny San Diego and I'm in rainy Liverpool. Mm. He picks up the phone at the time. And there's this guy who's just listening, going, oh, can you help me get to the top of Google? And there were two Daves in the office at the time. There was Dave the designer and Dave me, basically. Uh-huh. And Brian just goes, oh, you need to speak to Google Dave. And it was just a complete throwaway remark because Google Dave is the guy who puts us to the top of Google. And then basically since that moment, everywhere we went, me and Brian, he introduced me as, oh, this is Google Dave.
Google Dave. Love that story.
And the chief experience officer, what do you do?
Yeah, I actually don't know what to do anymore, to be honest. But then I basically, sounds like a glorified sort of title. I'm not into titles, to be honest with you, but it's all about experiences. Like part of our sort of brand, if you like, as PH Creative is we're defenders of happiness. And happiness for us is about, you know, how people do feel, how they think across their experiences, whether it's our people's experience and our team, whether it's our clients or indeed the wider talent community.
Yeah.
And a lot of the work that I do is not just sort of strategically how the companies figure out how they talk about themselves, but also how do they bring those to life and experiences.
Got it.
And actually, that's what matters more than anything else.
The Chief Experience Officer. So today we're going to talk about the EVP and how to build the employer branding story. But first things first, what, Dave, is an EVP and why is it crucial for organizations today?
Okay, so what is an EVP? Well, you know, for those, I'm sure lots of people may have heard the phrase or the acronym EVP stands for Employee Value Proposition. And, you know, the tangible things that might be wrapped up into that are things like the culture, the benefits, the compensation, how do you help people develop themselves in terms of their career? But it's like the value exchange. Now, we call that, in very simple terms, the give and the get.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, very, very simplified, you know, it's just this exchange. So like as a potential employee or an employee, what have I got to give to thrive in your organization? Okay.
Yeah.
But then what do I get in return? Like what do I get? What are the tangible things that I actually get? What's the experience I get? You know, how do you help me? You know, for me to endure the tough times and the high times and the good times in that company, what do I get in return? What do I get? So the give and the get.
It's a written document then.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. This. So EVP is a document. You're documenting it. You're doing the research. It's based on all kinds of it. I'm sure we'll get into all of that. And it becomes articulated in words and communications. But here's the thing. There's a few different components to it. But the key thing is, when we're talking about an employer brand and how you position yourself and an EVP is part of that, we're talking about the reputation that you want to stand for as an employee and forge in the marketplace. We're then talking about communicating the give and get and the expectations for talent and what they get in return. And then it has to be a lived experience. So what you're saying to me, does it feel like that? And does it ring true? And we talk about selling the truth.
Yeah.
You've got to sell the truth, otherwise we have all kinds of other issues and problems then.
We call it Botox.
Yeah.
Culture Botox. Maybe it looks really good from a distance, but
but once
the effect will diminish quite soon.
And a couple of months later, you see reality. Yeah. And that's not always what you hope to see.
It is, isn't it? It is. Oh, God, that's a good one.
Well, keep that in mind then next time.
Yeah. But
we also see many people tend to mix up EVP and employer brand. Could you help us out? What's the difference between the two?
Yeah. So the EVP is like the strategic give and get and the articulation of what it is. But the employer brand is the wrapper around it. You know, there's actually a really good analogy that I'm going to steal from Vicky Saunders, who we worked with actually at various different companies. And she talks about like, if you've got everyone knows Mars bars, right? So you've got a Mars bar.
Yeah.
The ingredients inside the Mars bar, when you bite into it and you taste it, you know, that's what you're getting back for buying it. But the wrapper around it is the employer brand pattern, where it puts it on the shelf and the point of sale and how they promote it. That's like the employer branding part. So the employer brand is that part of it. So if you like Mars bars, I don't actually eat chocolate, but if you like Mars bars, you kind of know what I mean.
So you first need an EVP and then work on your employer brand.
That's the order.
Typically that's how it goes. Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah, got it.
And just thinking about that, you know, I'm very much into like, it does become a written document. I think you touched on something there. Like we work with lots of organizations all around the world, and you know, it is a strategic piece of work, and it's, you know, it can take a bit of time. You know, if you think about huge organizations, and it ends up in documentation. You know, that's typically what it does. But that's not really, that's just the start. You know, it's how does that come alive after, say, like, words prove who you want to be, actions prove who you are. And that's where the experience part comes in, because what you're trying to do through words initially in a proposition and your EVP is articulate and communicate what makes you different, what you get, you know, if you give this, and then what does it feel like? But then when I come in, whilst I part of the candidate experience, when I'm on board and the employee experience, what does it feel like to me?
Yeah.
You know, how does it show up?
Yeah. 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 And it can look really good on paper, but do you truly live it and do people feel it?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's another thing there. It's not just about, it can look great, you know, and often there's wordsmithing going on and all this kind of stuff. But actually, we also want to know what it's like when it's not great. You know, what is it, the harsh realities of working at an organization look like? I mean, but as an example, Brian, the business partner, when he the second book, Give and Get, one of the inspirations for that was some of the work we did at Apple a few years ago now. And one of the things that we kept in with that is other organizations is everybody wants to go and work at these big, well, they did. Everybody wanted to work at these big tech organizations like of Apple's and Google's and all this. And it was like, almost like, got to go and work there, you know, because they've got a whole massive consumer brand and they've got like almost, you know, these evangelists who want to work there and use the products. But you go there, you're going to give your life up for 2 years and it's bloody hard work and it's relentless and it doesn't stop.
That's reality.
That's right. Now, if you're just saying the good stuff, right, you might get there and go, oh my God, this isn't what I thought it was going to be like. I'm not getting home. I'm not seeing my family. They feed me in the morning. They feed me lunchtime. They feed me at night. There's a gym here. You know, I can't get out of the place, but I've got no work-life balance. I've got no, my sense of well-being's gone, blah, 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 blah. And that was like, do you know what? There's too many rainbows out there, if you like, where people are just selling the good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we're not selling shampoo. We're not selling cups, iPhones, cars. We're selling life, you know, we're selling roles, we spend more time in work than anywhere else probably in the course of your life. So it's important that we
sell the truth.
There you go. You took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah.
Attracting, motivating, and retaining great people is the top priority of any successful company. Ravio empowers companies to build high-performing teams and ensure they are paid competitively and fairly. By connecting directly to your HR system, Ravio gets real-time total compensation benchmarking, salary bands, and market trends. Find out more on ravio.com.
You already touched a bit upon that an EVP has different components.
Yeah.
Can you talk us through, what are the key components of a successful EVP?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we develop an employee brand and an EVP, we are looking for certain ingredients. So we'll go through our discovery stage and we'll do lots of research and qual and quant research. I won't go too much deep into that. But what we're looking for is various ingredients. Where is a company dialed up and down? So a few areas, where are you around providing impact, purpose and belonging as an organization? You know, is there an opportunity for impact? What are you doing? Are you doing things in the world that make an impact? Are you making an impact on people's careers, their experience? What's your purpose? What do you stand for? And are you creating a sense of belonging within an organization and your team? Now, you won't be brilliant at all of them. You know, you'll be dialed up on them. And then there's another layer that we go into in our research, which is what we call the three C's, which is culture, citizenship, and being a career catalyst. Yeah. And so, like, everybody talks about culture, you know, what's it like, flexibility, leadership, management support, financial security, stability is much more important now we've come out the other side of COVID. And there's a lot of turbulence going on in the world at the moment. So yeah, what's culture like? Obviously important. Career catalyst is more and more important than we're seeing that dialed up everywhere. So how can you help me advance my career? How can you help me progress and develop myself? You know, you hear about these careers now that are just squiggly lines. You're hearing about things in very forward thinking companies where there's almost internal gig economies where people can, it's looking at skills and where can those skills be transferable. So that's really important. And then really this banner of citizenship, so, you know, DEIB, doing the right thing, CSR, social responsibility, philanthropy even, you know, so are you doing the right thing by yourselves, by your people, by your communities, by the world? And what happens is those areas are what we're trying to understand within an organization. And then we're looking for patterns and threads. What are the things that we're hearing louder? So imagine that this was an album, you know, we're finding out where your chords are, your strongest chords, and how do we make the songs, if you like. What are the songs we should be singing and how should we be playing them as kind of it. And then the employer brand bit is the album cover and the title, so to speak, you know. And you won't be brilliant at them all. You'll have some strengths in those areas, some really strength. Go, you know what, we're hearing this all the time around your organization, you know, different talent audiences, different regions, we're hearing these things. And then we'll go, but you've got some challenges in this area. So let's just say, I don't know, there's a weakness around career development and being a career catalyst. But the company strategically is saying, well, we want to be known for that. Okay, so what happens there is we look at the ingredients and strategically, because that an EVP is a strategic device to take the business to where it needs to go, in particular through attracting, retaining talent and engaging talent. What we would do is we would develop the EVP. So imagine there's four core pillars, if you like. And a couple of those pillars will be based on reality today. Some of the things that we're hearing, we're going to start talking about and being a bit more out there with them and above the line and talk about them internally, externally. But there might be a couple of things where you go, we're not there yet, but we want to start talking about that and where we're going, the aspirational part of the EVP.
Yeah.
And that's just as important to attract the talent that's going to take us there and retain the talent that's going to on board to taking us there. So it's not just today, it's also tomorrow.
Yeah, it's the same with company values. Of course, it should reflect the truth, but it can be a bit aspirational. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
That's what we want to head to.
Yeah. And that's also part of the excitement for talent. You know, we see it all the time where, you know, a company, we kick off, we're very much like, in three years, where's the business going? What is the strategy of the organization? What are the objectives? What are the goals? And it's very much exciting. I want to be part of that. I want to be on that journey with you, help you transform or change or, you know, or whatever.
But should you be honest then as a company that you're not there yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, one of the things I've got a slide in my head at the moment. I've got the slide of Gremlins. I don't know if you've seen the film Gremlins. If you haven't seen Gremlins, everyone, you need to check it out. You've got the Mogwai who's like goes by the day to day, and then you feed him after midnight and he goes nuts basically, and he becomes this gremlin and lives fast, dies hard kind of thing. And there's you've got to sell the truth, because, you know, I can test drive a car. Right, I can go and get a car, to test drive a car for a weekend. They can drive around there, but you don't really get to test drive job. And you think, in simple terms, the effort it gets to bring talent in and retain great talent. If you're not honest in what you're saying to them, when they get in, they go, that's a complete waste of time and money for everybody involved. And actually, it damages your reputation as who you are as a company. You know, so
for sure.
It's important that we do. We're honest and and they're authentic. And also, there's a trust element involved as well. And more people are more tuned in to distrust and trust, I think, you know. And I think trust is an important part we're starting to see more and more of.
Yes, trust is an important part. That model that you were describing, is that a model that you can also share? Is it online?
Yeah.
For it? Can we share it with our listeners in the show notes?
Yeah, absolutely. I've probably got a few things we can share with you, actually. By the time we finish it, I'll probably go, oh, yeah, we'll send you that. Perfect. We'll send you that. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, of course we can.
And you already talked a bit about culture, and we mentioned values. So how do the EVP and culture and other elements align? So for example, do I need my EVP before I can work on a reward philosophy or so? What comes first? What's the foundation for everything you do?
It's a really good question. And there's not a perfect answer, because companies are in different phases. Okay.
Yeah.
Now it's very much though, it's very important that things are connected. You know, so too often these things can feel disconnected and they work in silo. And we definitely see now people being more intentional and strategic around how are they aligning values, the EVP, and touching on what we talked about before is how do those things then manifest themselves across the people strategy in the experience? So let's take an example. Bit of a story. So we went with BT, British Telecom's communications company in the UK, and they were attracting cyber talent, right? They weren't famous for it. They had a real problem. They needed to change perception. But they also wanted to be a career catalyst. So you've got your EVP, they're attracting talent and retaining cyber folks, and we're on with that. One of the things that came out was like, we want to become more famous for career catalysts, career development, intel and mobility, reskilling people. Okay. So strategically, we were like, we know that in cybersecurity, about 58% of them are people who work in cyber across Europe, never started off in cyber. Wouldn't it be cool if people and culture strategically could make our own cyber folks? So we took that ambition of being a career catalyst, a part of what they wanted to do, and we created an internal campaign, which was basically you could apply to go on a 117-day course to be skilled as a cybersecurity person, basically moving to cyber. And so, and I can share some of the work with you if you want after this, but basically there's 117 days. We filmed these 30 people who went, and there were call center staff, video technicians. There was a lady called Barbara who was 50, by the way. She was a video technician. She'd worked there for 21 years, transformed their life. There was a guy who was 21. He was working on a call center. He had to drop out of uni. He's got a young family, completely changed his life. And we followed that. And that's a real tangible example of how you've taken an ambition for your EVP of where you want to get to.
Yeah.
But you've created something that's made a measurable impact. And they all graduated in 117 days. And it's just been an amazing journey, like that piece of work. And there's going to be 60 this year. So it's an amazing, but that is a real example of taking that and aligning those things. Mm. And then there's lots of other ways. Rewards, another one. You know, let's say, innovation is one of the things that's important to you. I mean, there's a word that's put out there all the time. It's probably not that innovative. I think it's probably in the top 10 most used words on the internet, but it's, you know, innovation. You know, so innovation, what does that mean? Brilliant minds working together, problem solving, curiosity, coming up with great solutions that maybe not been thought of before, all these type of things.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take the values and behaviors around that, reward those things, celebrate those things internally. How does reward play to that? You know, so connecting those things are important. And I think what happens is there'll be a piece of EVP work being done over here by TA or employer brand. Then there'll be something happening over here with reward. There'll be something happening here with L&D as an example. But the opportunity is bringing the components together, and the sum of its parts equals more. And the thing is like, you can't do everything. But what you can look to do is, based on your business's objectives and goals and how the people strategy fits into that, how does the employer brand and what we say live in those areas so that it feels connected rather than in silo?
That's interconnected, right? And you already mentioned some examples of departments that could be involved, but who in your opinion should be involved while working on the definition of the EVP?
That's a really good question. Okay, so let's run through this. So the first thing that we talk about is qual and quant research. So I talk about data tells you what, but humans tell you why. Okay, and we go on a voyage of discovery and then the art of reduction. Okay, so in terms of who we involve, it should certainly be, we build them from the inside out. I talk about inside out strategy, especially when we start to launch them. But senior folks, so first of all, we run something around the strategic direction of the business. So who's putting that in place? Who's involved in that? We need to listen to them, clearly. We then need to listen to your people at different layers, different regions, different sort of seniority, tenure, roles. Think about the target audience that you want to bring into the business and retain. We need to think about them. We talk about them as persona audiences. And then you need to think about the external marketplace and also your competitors. So where do you tend to lose talent to and where do you gain them from? And your talent competitors aren't necessarily your sort of consumer competition because, you know, for example, tech talent, everybody's a tech. Everybody thinks they're a tech company now. So, you know, but it's a 360 view of the organization. Okay. And you need tools and techniques and great questions because you don't have the answer. They have the answer. The activities, techniques and tools across those audiences give us the ingredients to figure out what the answer is.
So in the introduction, Evelise said that you were more about story building than storytelling.
Yeah.
What do you mean with that?
So this is an interesting one, isn't it? So we storytelling is like everybody's been talking about storytelling for a long, long time. Yeah. And and I think we're moving more towards story building, story doing. You know, if you think about storytelling, you know, often we're telling the story, we're not involving people in the story. And, you know, in the book that you mentioned, Getting Goosebumps, which is a few years ago now, you know, we looked at the Hollywood formulas for storytelling and the six key formulas, which we won't go into now because you'll shout at me because we haven't got time.
That's the second podcast.
Yeah, that's the second podcast. Mm. And basically, you look at the greatest films or think about now, we've been into box sets and Netflix and episodic content for a long, long time. And storytelling's becoming, it's a little bit passive. It becomes quite a one-way street, whereas story building involves people. And I think, you know, when you talk about involvement, I often think of ROI as the return of involvement. Okay, so involvement of our people. How do we start to show consistent communications that are unveiling the story over time? So the BT example that I just talked about, where we engaged internal people, reskilled them, we had like six heroes and followed their journey. It was all user-generated content, but it was all about their day-to-day, their learned experiences, but also their experiences at home with their family, what they did, because it was hard 117 days to become a protector. And what story building and doing does with employees is it taps in to advocacy and micro communities of multiple individuals, and it helps amplify who you are and what you're talking about around your EVP.
EVP is a hot topic because we always ask our listeners if they have questions for our podcast guest. And this time we received a lot of questions.
Okay.
a lot.
Okay.
So this one is from Tony from the Netherlands. And she said, what are the most common pitfalls that organizations should be aware of when developing their EVP?
Yeah.
And how to avoid them?
Yeah, good question. So first one is not being authentic. You know, don't just make this up. Go and listen. You know, I mean, it's Stephen Covey, isn't it? Seek first to understand before you do anything else. Yeah. And I think too many people, I mean, not as much as they used to, but even now we still see some companies not seeing the full benefit of it. But yeah, not selling the truth. We touched on that. You know, don't be afraid to lean into those harsh realities. Yeah. Got to listen, not just to build the EVP, but always be listening to your people. Always be listening to what matters to them. Think further ahead. Don't just think in the reality today. Think about where we're going tomorrow. And the one thing, you know, the one thing personally for me where I find or hear the magic when you're developing an EVP is it's not the data, it's the people. You know, this whole line of data tells us what it does. It really highlights, you know, some of the big buckets to go and have, you know, okay, why is that? But that's where the humans tell us. I would much rather run a workshop, which is got 10 or 12 people in, ask some smart questions, and I'll get more from that than looking at a data set of 1,000, if you like, you know, for want of a better number. So that's really important. And look, and also don't be afraid, to differentiate yourself. If you go and look at the top tech companies now and what they're saying on the career sites, it all looks and says the same thing pretty much.
Yeah, true.
You know, and we got to see a sameness. So, you know, think about how you differentiate what you're saying and how you show up.
Some companies find that so hard, right?
Yeah.
What makes them so different from everyone else? Yeah, we offer a lot of freedom, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not that unique.
Everyone thinks they're different, but often they're not.
Yeah. So
that's also a problem because they did not really identify yet what their differentiator is.
Yeah. It's hard, isn't it? And also they try and be, first of all, you have to see a sameness, and then they're all trying to do the same thing. Do you know what? It reminds me of an old thing we used to talk about, like, you know, in marketing, like marketeers ruin everything. You know, as soon as people get onto something that they think is going to work for them, everyone does it and we like over dial up on it all. But the thing with an EVP is like, I come back to that example, you know, if being a career catalyst is really important for you, create initiatives in your people strategy you can become famous for, like the BT Maker Protector and Undercept. Like they really went for it and now they're famous for it.
Yeah.
You know, but it isn't easy. It's not easy, and it's getting harder because basically it's becoming more competitive. You know, businesses realize that really people are the competitive advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then work on it.
Work on it.
You also have a lot of international experience, Dave. Is there a difference in approach? And does an EVP vary across different regions or markets or not?
Yeah, absolutely. Typically, you'll have an employer brand strategy. And we can show that we'll give you the listeners an example of this. So you have your brand strategy, your employer brand strategy with your pillars and your EVPs. Yeah. But what happens is you will dial up certain aspects of that to certain regions will become more important. And we tend to prioritize them. So for example, if entrepreneurship and innovation is more important, say in Silicon Valley, you'll talk about those things a little bit more. Whereas, you know, work-life balance might be more important in Scandinavia or wherever. But we can definitely give you some examples of them. And what happens is if you're running a campaign in Silicon Valley, you dial those aspects up in your communications and what you're saying and how you're talking about it. So it's like this recording now, and the sound engineer in the background is dialing me up and down. He's like, that's Scouser, I can't understand what he's saying. So he's dialing me up a little bit more. You know, so we're just dialing up and down what we're saying in different areas. And it's also in persona groups as well. So it's not just regions, it's talent audiences. You know, what's important to tech is completely different to what's important to someone in marketing.
That makes sense. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
For the listener, if you have any people and culture related questions that have to do with your work for a startup or a scale up, let us know so we can address it in the podcast. It can be a question for us or for our podcast guest. Send us a DM via LinkedIn or an email to info@peoplemasterminds.com. Dave, we have 5 statements for you. And the difficulty is you can only reply with agree or disagree.
Oh my God.
We're going to try.
Okay. Yes or no?
Agree or disagree.
Agree or disagree. Do you know what? I listen to this thing called the Zoe podcast, which is about nutrition. And they always open with 5 questions. You answer with yes or no. That's why I've got that in my head. Yes or no. Agree or disagree.
You can do it. Okay. Here we go. In the race for top talent, a strong EVP is more crucial than a competitive salary.
Agree.
It is ethical for companies to target specific demographics in their employer branding efforts, potentially excluding others.
Mm-hmm. Disagree. Contentious one, now.
A controversial company culture can be a powerful differentiator in attracting the right talent.
Agree.
A negative online review from a current or former employee can significantly damage an employer brand.
Disagree, but I've got an answer to that, but I'm not allowed it.
It is fair to use artificial intelligence and data analytics to tailor employer branding messages to individual candidates, potentially leading to manipulation or bias.
For the end product, disagree.
Okay, you're lucky because we give you the opportunity to explain your answer to one of these 5
statements.
Which one would you like to tell us a bit more about?
Oh, this is a good game. I can't remember. What was the second one? The second or third one again? Because I was like, ooh.
The second one was about whether it's ethical for companies to target specific demographics.
Yeah.
And the fourth one was about the negative online review.
Yeah, okay. Let's take the negative review. So that's an interesting one, that. Do you folks use TripAdvisor when you're looking to book a holiday? Yeah. You had a TripAdvisor, yeah?
Sometimes.
But I always, before I order something, I always check online reviews.
Reviews. Yeah, okay. So what's interesting there? So my wife, like when we're booking a holiday to go away, like we go down this wormhole of trying to figure out where to go, right, and all this kind of stuff. And then you look at TripAdvisor. And sometimes a bad review in TripAdvisor and the way they respond to it qualifies the good. So sometimes it makes it feel a bit more authentic. So that's why I said disagree. Now, if there's a flux of them, you know, then that's a different matter. But, you know, also what you're seeing is, and this is unfortunate, in the world at the moment with, you know, companies making layoffs, and we've had this round of sort of, you know, big companies making some shifts, mm-hmm. basically. In the moment, you're going to see quite a lot of reviews, you know, because simply the way sometimes these things have been handled. And actually, that's another thing, you know, do you handle and off-book people the right way? And how do you look, how do you think about people? You know, there's that Airbnb of the CEO when he made that open letter to everybody and actually helped their people find other jobs. He let them keep their laptops and everything because he wanted to try and help them. In a time of turmoil for people, he was trying to still do the right thing. But that's why I sort of say, you know, sometimes hearing the bad and the response to the bad is the genuine character of a company.
Yeah. So respond to bad Glassdoor reviews.
Yeah, if you can, yeah. You know, I think that's it. You know, reputation. Reputation is who people think you are, but you can't control it. Character's who you are, and character, how you show up. In moments of toughness, if you like, is a measure of who you are.
And if you have an EVP, how do you measure its success? What metrics are valuable, do you think?
That's another wormhole we can go into, but I'll keep it short. So
that's a third episode.
Yeah, that is. You know what I mean?
How to measure your EVP
so in
results.
So in very, very simple terms, think about the talent experience end-to-end. So you've got the whole brand awareness and attraction. You've got the candidate experience and onboarding, employee experience and alumni, sort of four or five key statement areas, if you like. Inside of them are measurements that we can look at. So brand awareness, sentiment. Some people look at Glassdoor reviews. Sometimes it's hard to measure. In the consumer world, they spend a lot of money understanding brand sentiment. Then you've got the attraction metrics, quality of hire, time to all the usual stuff that you can think of. And then you've got the experience measurements, NPS. You know, you've got employee engagement, some of those strategic initiatives that you're doing in terms of performance, L&D, internal mobility could be some if that's important. But retention is an important one. So attraction, the cost of that attraction. Are you building communities? If you've got a CRM, that's a bit more and more important place to look at. Retention. You know, attraction, metric, loads of metrics in there. And the cost of that. I would say as a business strategy, what the two or three things that are most important to you, and then look for the measurements in terms of the activity we're going to put against the employer brand. But for me personally, it's going to be around experience. How
as
people
a chief
feel.
Experience officer.
Yeah. How
important.
People feeling, you know?
Yeah. And let's say as Caleb, I would like to start with my employer branding journey, but there's so much to do.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm starting with it, what advice would you give me? What should I do first? Where do I start?
I think that for me personally, and I get asked this for smaller companies, like where do we start? And it's go and listen. Go and listen. You know, don't make things up. Don't think it's this and what could be that. You know, in simple terms, if I was doing this for like a company of 100 people, I'd be like, right, I want to speak to leadership, where are we going as a business, what's happening? And then I'm going to get our lookalike talent inside of the organization, put them in a room, get 10 of them and ask them a lot, start asking them, what's it like? What do I have to give? What does it take to thrive? What are the biggest surprises? What did you think about the organization before you got here? You might not have heard anything. if we're in the pub, what would you talk about? You know, just simple, just some questions to bring out those ingredients and then look for those patterns.
That's a great advice. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Dave, for being our guest.
I've loved it.
Very insightful. I really like the culture, citizenship and the career catalyst.
Yeah.
Yeah. Part. Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Really, and you're one. Going to share the model with us, huh?
Yeah. We'll share
we'll
that with you.
In the show notes.
Yeah. We'll send some stuff out. I'll send you the case study for BT as well, because it's really cool. People can check it out. You're like the dynamic duo, aren't you? I don't know. You two need to be on stage together. You look great. You know,
we are on stage together, but
we have a lot of fun on stage.
I know. Yeah. I'm gutted. I couldn't be there today. I was hoping to be there, but never mind.
Well, that would be amazing.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. It was a lot of fun and very insightful. Did you enjoy our conversation? Take a moment to evaluate this episode on your preferred podcast platform. And if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. By doing so, you make sure that a steady flow of the latest episodes directly flow into your inbox, while also helping others discovering the wealth of insights we share. Thank you for listening. Until the next episode.